All right, guys, delays continue to 88. There's still an accident northbound at the Beltway blocking a left on a center lane, really slowing you down. The North Loop eastbound at TC Jester, some road debris there blocking a center lane and a couple of stalled vehicles slowing you down. On 45 southbound at West Road, it is blocking a center lane, really slowing you down. From FM 1960, showers this afternoon with a high of 78, 68 degrees right now. From the Texan Roofing.com weather desk, Amalia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
A sports genius, a former NFL player, and a millennial bro. This is Mad Radio with Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, and Paul Gallant.
I've gotten more and more annoyed at drones. Like, I'm just out like, oh, it's a lovely day at the park. Yeah. What is that, a mosquito? Oh, no, it's just somebody spying on me. That's great. Oh, I hope. I completely 100% advocate drone guns for all. Hey, my one question about this is, or drone guns. What about the beam? Like, what if the beam goes past the drone and continues on, like, up into the path of a jetliner?
Well, that would suck, but I don't think it would be that
Seth,
powerful.
Seth, that's the risk you take.
That's the risk you take.
You know, and honestly,
double spoilers.
Yeah. I don't want any Game of Thrones spoilers, so, you know.
That's just the risk that you take.
Sorry, just please make a great emergency landing. We need some Sully on that plane.
This is Mad Radio, presented by Allstate Siding and Windows on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
We are in to the 8 o'clock hour. Unfortunately, the Astros season has come to an end 4-1 at the hands of the Red Sox last night. Mike, Seth, and Paul, Kylie Wong is in on a Football Friday. We had a weird segment to conclude the 7 o'clock hour, so Kylie will join us to talk things. So I think we may have gotten into an argument right after the segment ended, but I think we're good now.
We're fine. I get mad, and I'm a little teapot, short and stout, and then I get through it, go to the bathroom, rinse everything off, come back in. Professional.
You know what? I loved it. All I knew is this. I was staying outside the room until traffic was done. Oh, yeah. I was like, and they're like, dude, you can come back in. I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Like, I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm staying out here.
Mike and I were shouting at each other.
Let these guys kind of, you know, bro it up. And, you know, it's like, guys, I love that. I love the fact that you can blow up your friends, and then you're cool, and it's done.
Yeah, you're not going to, like, align against them secretly on Facebook with your friends or something, as far as I know. You're not going to be DMing all your common friends and be like, listen, we're not going to talk to Mike anymore, okay? It's just a deal, all right?
Exactly.
Unless if you want to be my friend, you're not
talking
to Mike.
For the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like it's ended. That's what I love about guys and testosterone and kind of all that stuff is it gets over. I mean, there are so many fights that happen in a locker room where you literally fight somebody, and then you're like, man, that was stupid. My bad, dude. And they're like, it's cool.
It's been happening a little bit too much over the last week for my liking, though. On Saturday, after doing rugby, I was exhausted. I had a seat at the bar, and I went to the bathroom. I said, hey, can you watch my seat really quickly? And my friend, Mariel, he took the seat, and I came back, and I was like, oh, really, a-hole? You're going to take the seat when I clearly called it? And then he was like, man, you... I didn't hear you say it. And I was like, well, I said it. I said it three times. Are you kidding me? And then he continued to sit there because he was not going to be alpha'd by me. So I just continued to call him an a-hole. So then he got in my face and said, call me an a-hole one more time. And I was like, well, you're acting like an a-hole. So you're an a-hole. So then he walked over and he took the chair and he just moved it away. And then like 5 minutes later, we were fine. Because I realized that everyone around us was looking at us like, wow, there are other available chairs as well.
You know what, though? Okay, this is the story, though. Is this friend Mariel?
Yeah.
Mariel, if he said, call me an a-hole one more time, that implies that if you do it, he's going to do something about it. But he didn't do anything about it.
I didn't think he would do something about it.
You can't go to that. That's a nuclear button. Like, that's a warning shot where, like, say it one more time, and then you do something crazy. The real victim here, though, Kylie, is me. Because as both these guys were threatening to leave, the other one was like, oh, you're going to be unprofessional? No, I'm not unprofessional. I would never leave in the middle of it. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not even involved in this. I'm just trying to. I'm getting a grocery list for my wife. I feel victimized. I feel like I'm a Mavericks front office employee. Like I'm the one under assault here.
713-572-4610. I think we're cool. I think I've been harboring long resentments, not against Paul, but more about like other random things going on, like me being crushed for picking the Indians in five. My friend complaining that we play the play-by-play calls on Wednesday morning of the Red Sox highlights. Like all these different things. You know what? Here's what annoys me. Because, like, I picked the Indians in five. I believed it. I'm not somebody, like, trolling the audience. I was wrong. But I have people coming at me basically being like, you should get off the radio in Houston. I'm like, it's
three of your reasons were legit, too.
Two of them were shaky.
Yeah, two of them were very suspect.
Very suspect.
But three of them were good.
But three of them were good. And here's the thing. Like, I've had far worse takes here. For example, When the Rockets hired Mike D'Antoni, I said, this is a bad hire. This guy is too old. That is a far worse substantive opinion than picking the Indians.
It was ageist.
Yes, it was ageist. If people came out, they're like, your opinion on D'Antoni was a disgrace. I'd be like, you know what? You're right. That was a disgraceful, pathetic take by me. But picking a team to win a baseball series when you know how crazy this series can be is not even close to my worst takes on this
season. You know what my dumbest take of the last 2 weeks was, Kylie?
What's that?
Astros in five.
Same.
What the hell was that? Astros in five.
Same.
We did clown fool. I shouldn't be allowed to talk about baseball. I obviously didn't play the game. What the hell do I know about it? Anyway, I should take their advice and just stop talking about it.
Well, I mean, that's obviously my take was kind of very similar. 6-5-6, whatever it is. But the fact that we're going back to the World Series. So that's why I'm sure it was an odd, because I reread my text messages in the morning. And I saw that, you know, you guys texted me about 8:30.
Yep.
I texted you back about the ninth inning, right?
You're like, I'm going to be positive.
I'm going to be positive, man. And not to mention there was a couple of bourbons that were, you know, consumed watching the game with mama, so.
I need the life advice going forward, because yesterday in particular, I had the rabbit ears up. I don't know why I had them up as much as I did, but I listened to both those Boston podcasts on two different shows on two different radio stations that randomly brought up my name and got my like friends and family to like text me about it. But also there's another incident that I had on Twitter as well. I don't even want to talk about that one, because that has to do with someone who used to work here. And honestly, I have zero time for this person anymore. Yeah. I'm done talking about this guy. Yes, it's a baseball expert. I should not talk about baseball either. But
they're worse than
they're very sanctimonious.
They're worse than Pol Pot is what they are. Is worse than
worse than AIDS. Some might even
expert
say
expert guy.
Worse than every form of hepatitis.
Kylie, how do I walk down the road not being angry at these random people that aren't even within my actual like grabbing range? How do I get past this? You walk through life so positively, it makes me enraged because I'm jealous.
It's really simple. I don't go on social media.
Yeah,
that's the cure for it all, right? Like, I mean, it's fascinating. Seth and I, we've actually talked about this in the past. Like, we don't understand how athletes navigate this world of being out there in the social media and then obviously performance, right? Like when we played. I don't know about you, but I sure as heck didn't listen to news. I didn't read newspapers. I didn't read anything. You have blinders on, right? Your business.
I listen to morning talk radio, but it's easy as a nose tackle because, for one, like Lance liked me as a player. And there was like, it was one morning show. Right. It was John and Lance.
Yeah.
Lance liked me as a player and knew what he was talking about.
He was a good football guy.
Because he knows offensive line and defensive line play especially. So, like, it was easy for me. I wasn't, like, listening in to see what they said about me after a horrible passing performance or something. But there was no Twitter. I was talking to Owen Daniels about this yesterday. He's on the Deceptively Fast podcast. He had a nice long hour-long conversation with Owen. Owen is 36 years old. So even he, like, I keep thinking of him as a young guy.
Right.
He came into the league in 2006.
Yep.
But yeah, it was just, there was really not a lot of, well, no, there was. He played. I guess he just wasn't on it. He just retired a couple years ago.
It was still kind of early and new.
But he was an old married guy by the time it was big on Twitter, so he wasn't.
Owen was here when I got here in 2010, obviously. He was here for a couple more years. So I would say he spent probably more than half of his career where social media was a big deal.
Yeah.
And my quick take on, I had a friend of mine tell me, this is the best way to explain it. On social media, the criticism is not constructive. That's the big thing. Like, I will tell you guys this. Sometimes in law school, when they give us feedback, I want them to be more critical of me. Because I'm like, give me more. I want more constructive criticism. And then, like, on social media, I'm like, damn, what, am I soft? Like, am I not mentally tough? What the hell's wrong with me?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. In life, usually in workplaces, the criticism is constructive and a lot of times not constructive. Now, on social media,
it's also from a rando social media.
They will just shred you and your family. That's my two cents.
And they're only trying to agitate you. Right? Yes. I mean, that's the key. No, without question. I mean, as an athlete, you know, you get a lot of constructive criticism. That's air quotes right there, just in case you're not on the radio. But I mean, but the media is tough. And so, you know, the guys that are really active, you know, that are Snapchat live in the locker room and doing the stuff immediately post game, you know, on their Instagram feed, like, I'm blown away how they deal with that.
What are your early thoughts on the game on Sunday? I said my theme throughout the show has been, I've crushed O'Brien so far this season. I do not think he has done a good job coaching this team, particularly on offense. Obviously, the red zone, even though I think Deshaun shares some blame in that. If they go in there and win on Sunday as 4.5, 5-point dogs, no matter what happens in the game, I will not criticize Bill. If they go and they win this game on Sunday, for me, as far as this game, the slate's clean. That's my take.
You know, so I'm super positive on this thing. I mean, I think it's interesting. You have a good opportunity. You know, everyone's starting the season new, right? I believe that there's only, you know, one playoff team that comes out of this division to begin with, right? So, so we have an opportunity. And after such a rough start, like, I'm excited about this. I look at this game and I don't know if I can put it on with the same kind of glasses that you have. Because I look at this game as this is almost like when you're in training camp and you're going your first team versus your second team. You know how sometimes, you know, the defenses or the offense will be like ones versus twos. And that's kind of what this game looks like, right? It's our ones, which is our dominant defensive line and the front seven that we have, against their ones, who's their dominant defensive line and their front seven, because both of the offenses really aren't clicking and you can knock both of them, you know, off course very quickly. And so, that's kind of how I look at it. I look at who's going to outplay each other, and I like our group, and I would put our group up against anybody. And that's kind of how I'm going about it. Who creates turnovers? Who makes the, you know, are we able to make Blake Bortles do too much? Like you heard Boomer Esiason say. Right? He is doing too much because he doesn't have weapons around him. Can you make sure that those weapons don't get hot, don't get active? And I think you win this game.
That was a problem last year because a lot of unnamed weapons for the Jaguars in the game that took place in Jacksonville, Tommy Bohannon, Corey Grant, who is out for this game. And I honestly,
who was the homeless kid?
Keelan Cole and Jaden Mickens.
Mickens, the homeless kid?
He's home now. He's hurt now. He's
voluntarily homeless, everybody. He lived in his car just because to save money. Yeah, they kept lauding him for his homelessness when in fact he was just stingy. He had enough money for a home. He just chose to sleep in his car.
Those four combined for 6 touchdowns, and they were going up against the Tom Savage Texans offense, which was completely unable to do anything in that game. So you would think, okay, well, Deshaun Watson's under center. They should be able to do a little bit more. But I do wonder, because Watson, and it was his first ever game in the NFL, did get absolutely clobbered in the second half of that first game of the year. And I feel like if there is a game for Jacksonville to get back on track, it's one where they're just flying around defensively and running after Deshaun, trying to knock him down.
Well, of course. I mean, that's this, you know, the Texans have to be really, really good with Deshaun Watson in this game, obviously, right? Because he is on pace for plus 60 sacks.
That's insane.
Right? Like, to take 60 plus sacks.
It's impressive.
You know, if you, just for context.
He's a saver.
You know,
he's an earner, not a burner.
That's right. Just for context, the last year, it was like 52 led the league. The year before it was 47. I think, what was it? It was David Carr, you know, in his inaugural season was 76. I mean, that is, this is a really, really porous offensive line, and he's really struggling back there. Not to mention the fact that he's taking so many sacks and taking so many hits. It's really disrupting routes. He's missing open receivers because, you know what? He's first just trying to get his body out of the way. And so, I agree with you. This is the game for both of these teams to kind of really establish an identity and get right.
We've got an update on that Jaden Mickens kid.
And I was in Miami with my new beach house.
There you go. He's got a beach house in Miami.
Now he's got a beach house.
Yep.
From the car to the beach house.